This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Well, that will be tomorrow when Brent is here with me. We'll take care of that. This is Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Hey, we're at the Northwest Ag in show at the Oregon State Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And we're in the Columbia Hall building is where we are.
Come on down and say hi.
There's more than one building.
There is more than one building.
So come down, spend a few hours, check out
all
the
equipment. Come say hi. Come make faces at us while we're trying to be serious on
the
radio.
Yeah. We like that. It's distractions. It's always fun. Joining us now at the for our second hour, don't worry, Bill O'Reilly will be on at 2:04.
We just bumped him an hour.
Right.
But he's good with it.
He is.
Yes.
So is, you know, Gorka.
Gorka's fine with it, too.
Alan Crow is the sales manager at NMOP. That's Mark Nelson Oil Products. Welcome.
Thank you.
MNOP, Mark Nelson Oil Products.
Yes.
Longtime customer.
Yes, they have. Yes. And they've been advertising on KYKN for quite a while. I know you're new to the company, right?
Somewhat. I've been with Mark Nelson since March of 2019.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I was a customer for years and years. We have a 100-year-old house, had a big old oil tank in it, and Mark Nelson Oil Products trucks would drive up our very skinny driveway. Drivers always impressed me because he did it beautifully, and he backed his way out. Didn't mess anything up.
He backed out on the skinny one,
too? He backed out on my skinny driveway.
That's
talent. So way to go, whoever that driver was. He was rocking it.
We definitely have some good drivers on our staff. Yes.
Have you driven trucks?
No, they won't let me drive a truck. They're a little smarter.
They probably wouldn't let me drive them either. Yeah. So it takes a special talent to drive a fuel truck like that and not injure or
run over azaleas.
Run over things. Yes. Yeah, you run over somebody's azaleas, man, it's over.
I would not have been happy if that happened to me, and it never
happy?
Did.
Happy? Yeah.
So what's Mark Nelson Oil Products doing at the Ag Show?
Well, we're just out here. We're based out of Salem, Oregon here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our close customers are here. And we're just saying hello, hopefully getting some energy for some new customers that we can give them the same level of service that we've been giving everybody else.
So what are some of the products that you deliver?
We run into different categories. One of the things is we're doing lubricants. We're a marketer for Phillips 66 as well as North American Lubricants.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tank wagon division that does bulk fuel, usually 6,000 gallons and below. We send the tank wagons out to do farmers and other companies' fuel tanks.
Huh.
We have a truck and trailer division that's you're talking more in the 10,000 gallon range. We're moving fuel around for people, making deliveries on big things. And then we also broker Cardlock, which is Pack Pride, CFN.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. We own 11 Pack Pride stations around the valley, and we also broker the cards for CFN and Pack Pride.
Place where you can pump your own gas.
Yes, I noticed.
Pump your own gas.
I used to have a Pacific Pride
car, my husband does,
car,
and so
too.
We get to pump our own gas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also lived on a farm for, I was telling Denise this earlier, when I was younger, we were on a farm about 10, 15 miles out of town, and we had our own tank. And it was nice to have that extra fuel tank for not only the cars, but also the tractor. And you guys deliver all that, and it was so easy. And it's not that expensive, right?
No, definitely. You're usually going to be paying under what you see in the retail stations and things like that when you're running the fuel from us. Yeah, there's a lot of things in the fuel people don't understand with some stuff. You know, going back to the Pack Pride.
Yeah.
Something that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, you know, typically you need a business license. You need to do at least 900 gallons of fuel throughout the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
For diesel, that's not the case at all.
Oh, okay.
So people with diesel vehicles, they can come to us and get a Pack Pride card, let them fill up themselves, you know, mm-hmm. run that just like a company would. But you don't have any minimums or anything like
okay,
that.
Okay, I did not know that.
No.
That is interesting. What about for, you know, the average homeowner who has a need for gasoline? I understand you have ethanol free. Talk to us about what that means in the market.
Well, I mean, mainly it's clear fuel, and there's detergents, dispersants, things that are put in the fuel that they serve a purpose. But when you get into some of these little smaller things, let's say chainsaw, things like that, those are going to do more of gumming up the actual machine than doing that. So we actually have that fuel available at a pump at our site, some of our Pack Pride sites as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very popular, especially in the ag community.
Yeah, and I hear people, you know, ethanol. Ugh.
Yeah,
people don't like it.
It's not good unless your car is tuned for it. Mm-hmm. It's not good for the other little things that I have a weed whacker too that requires a little mix of oil with it and stuff like that. That regular gas, it doesn't like it.
No, most definitely. We also market VP products. They're typically known for their racing fuel, but they also have the 2-to-1 mixtures, things like that, or they're ready to go. And that's stuff that we typically have on our shelves or things that we can order and get to our customers pretty quick.
And where are you guys located?
We are based out of Salem.
We're at the
over on Claxter Road off Salem Industrial Parkway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yep. We have a facility in Canby, right there off the main drag. Another facility out in Hillsborough, and we are working on a facility in Gresham right now.
Wow, you're expanding.
Most definitely.
Like it. I like it when a business is doing so well.
I do too. Expand. I do too.
Looking for more employees, obviously.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I okay. think they are.
All right. what is the, and where do you serve? I mean, what's the range?
Typically, I'd say Eugene, Oregon up to Kalama, Washington. Would
that's
be the main service orders. Correct. Most of those areas, we have full service in there. Once we get into Eugene, you know, I'm not always taking the smaller tank wagon loads and things like that, but our truck and trailer is still operating. But we have tank wagons running down into Sweet Home. We got a pretty wide range that we're covering.
Do you still find a lot of homes still have the oil?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Interesting.
Oh, yes. We have a lot of heating oil customers.
Yeah.
And Mark Nelson, we actually have stove oil as well. When it's cold outside, the dispatchers have a busy morning the
next
day.
Yeah, and you know that oil heat. It's a very, I'll say, warm heat, which sounds silly, but you can feel the difference in it. I don't know what it is about it, but we had oil heat for years. Like I said, 100-year-old house and having oil heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very robust heat.
My grandparents had the oil heat.
Yeah.
And the truck would come out probably once every 2 weeks and fill it back up again.
No, definitely. And the heating oil and things of that nature, that's why it's so important that we have such a good crew of drivers.
Yeah.
We are going up to our customers' houses, and we're getting into pretty intimate places as far as where the customers go. And I will say from what I've seen in my short time in the industry, our drivers are very outstanding.
Yeah, the one that we had for years and years was, and it was an old coal chute that had been converted.
Mm-hmm.
So he was right up there. And like I said, the skills, the driving to getting up there, a very narrow old school driveway, super impressive. And again, when we called and, you know, there was one time when we were like, uh-oh, and you guys were right there.
Yeah, it's scary to run out.
We've had an uh-oh, like on the, you know, the coldest day of the year, and you're like, ugh.
Oh, no, I got 5 gallons left.
Somebody didn't plan well.
Yeah, right. So what is the typical time for them to show up? Is it, you know, a day?
We try to route our schedules so that we're in different geographical areas, you know, based on the days and whatnot. As far as, you know, the heating oil and stuff goes, our dispatcher's got a pretty good handle on things. It's amazing how much coverage he's able to pull out of the amount of trucks that we're running.
And you can set up a schedule, too, can't you?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
We can put people on keep full programs where we put a monitor on there and we'll fill at a certain level, or we can trigger from, you know, just a basic call in from any other customer.
Yeah, that's helpful for those who don't necessarily plan ahead.
Or check it.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Put the automatic fill thing on it. You have a monitor that you have?
Yeah, they're monitors. We actually use these monitors in a lot of different applications. We use them on the big fuel tanks that you see. We use them on, you know, lubricant tanks. We have some on hydraulic oils, things of that nature. It gives us access to see where it is, you know, as opposed to what's going on. One of the things that we find out in the field is people typically, when they call us in, they like to measure their tanks by kicking it.
And, that's not a measure.
Yeah, their measure and our measure isn't always the same, you know. We show up with 500 gallons and they need 200, you know. The monitors are good for that.
I used to work at a gas station and we used to check the tank with a stick. They don't still do that, do they?
Oh, we still have sticks. That's the main way we do it. One of the things that we run into is the access to actually get the stick in the tank. You'd be surprised where some of these tanks are
sometimes.
And
yeah.
That was some good planning.
No, I'm not a big fan of climbing on those big tanks myself. Luckily, there's other people at the company that don't have a problem with it. But, you know, you got to get up to that hole to get that stick in. I mean, that's the only way you can get it done.
That's crazy.
I'm kind of liking the monitor idea better than the stick.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Alan Crow, the sales manager at NMOP, Mark Nelson Oil Products, thank you for your time.
Hey, thank
Thanks
you.
For being here and part of the Northwest Ag Show. We enjoy it, and thanks for being a part of KYKN as well.
Yeah, I appreciate your guys' time. Thank you.
Thanks,
Yeah,
Alan.
You betcha. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractors, Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues live from the Northwest Ag Show. Here's Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And thanks again to Silver Learning Center. They sponsored this segment of Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. We are live at the Northwest Ag Show. It is going on today, tomorrow, and Friday. Got a kind of a short day on Friday.
Yeah.
Come check it out. There's seminars and all kinds of stuff going on. And Mike's messing with the mixer. What are you trying to do there, Mike?
You're too loud.
I'm too loud. Wow.
Keep it down, Dave.
Keep it
down. I can't
believe the boss just told me I'm too loud. Mike Frith is with us right now. Sergeant Mike, what's going on?
Hey, listen, we're just talking about the farmers.
Yes
we are.
And all the good things.
We love farmers.
Every time we eat.
Yeah.
Yes. You
know, we've got, this is a $1 billion business right here where we are.
Nice.
And we need to spread the word about how great it is and all of its value and how many dollars are rotated through and repeated and how many people work here and how much taxes they pay and all that. We need to be very happy with farmers.
We've been having conversations about how far removed many people are from where their food comes from where their textiles come from. I mean, even that's farming and agriculture is a part of that. So yeah. Coming to a show like this to reconnect up with it and learn what so many of us either forgot or never knew to begin with.
Yeah, not everything is, you know, click on the website and Amazon and have it delivered to your door.
I know, I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Credit card got bounced.
You know? It's like, how many things did I order? Whoops, okay, time to dial that back a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding. So
at KYKN, we're pro-ag all year long.
Yeah.
And including our, our daily farm and ranch report.
Yeah.
And popular.
That's a new, I noticed that. I really enjoy that. It's a nice little snippet to give you another side of the picture, a little bit of information that a lot of people don't get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll have business tips or information, mm-hmm. and they'll have trends and polls and things that are relevant. And that one is done in out of Colorado.
Okay.
And but their fingers are in all the markets.
Yeah.
And like Joe Beach, the CEO of the press, mm-hmm. Capital Press, mm-hmm. They serve Northern California up through Montana and Idaho. And we're just fortunate they're right close here.
Yeah.
And so they run a tremendous informational newspaper-ish mm-hmm. thing, but they're online every day with all kinds of important things. If you're concerned with the price of this or that, but just watching trends like we do.
Right.
You know, I read a newsletter. And I have two each day, and it's, you know, each one maybe five minutes.
And I think this is this issue in a broader scope is before a lot more people because of the last session, because of the work that groups like Timber Unity are doing, the truckers, the ag, because they're seeing things coming down the pipe sort of being mandated from on high at the state that have very, very real effects on people's livelihoods. And then the cost of the food that you and I go buy in the styrofoam at the supermarket, but all of that trickles down into the cost of that.
Yeah.
And it ends up hurting people, and you have to wonder for what gain.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listened to the segment with the Timber Unity lady.
Yes.
Is she from here?
I'm not sure if she's from here. She came down. She was at the rally. She will be here at the event on Friday.
I was I was delighted to hear how they were excited, step one, then the second step, and then the third step, and it became thousands instead of tens.
Yep, and the momentum growing and growing as more people learn about it.
And it changed.
It did. And it's now a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't lose that momentum or that chokehold.
So the 6th, February 6th is the next big, and I'm sure you're going to be down there for that. I'll be around. I mean, I can hear it. And like I said, a lot of people, unfortunately, were annoyed by that. I loved it. I was madly in love with it. I thought what they did was supremely powerful. That literally is power of the people.
Yes. That's why it was so cool. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I hope people get annoyed. That's the point. We want to be a disruptor.
Yes.
Disrupt the force so that people will pay attention to you. And now they are.
They
Timber
certainly
unity
are.
Means something now.
It does.
Yeah. And everyday people, yeah, getting together and letting the lawmakers know, you know, hey, this is not right.
And reminding
it's
them
not for us.
That they are servants.
Yes.
That they are they're put in those offices to represent us. And clearly, Timber Unity, the Medical Freedom Moms, Slavic Vote, Oregon Firearms Federation, these groups that are coming together at this event on Friday, are clearly saying with a loud and unified voice, you are not representing us.
Yeah.
This is what we want. And when the Oregon 11 went out, and it was so interesting to see the spin from both sides, because on the Democrat side, people were yelling and screaming that they weren't doing their jobs. From the conservative, from the agriculture, yes, they're doing their jobs. This is why I put them in office, to do exactly what they're doing, using every tool necessary to stop these bad bills. And yep, they did.
And then you come down to the last tool to use, you use it.
It'll be interesting to see if it needs to be brought out again this year, because in Capitol Press, I'm reading some stories. Senator Fred Girard walked out because the concessions, throwing up air quotes, that they're putting on the table are just window dressing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to quote him, but I think he did use the word nonsense.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing. He's a Staten guy.
Yep.
And I think he's a dentist. Yeah. And good guy.
Yep.
Solid.
Solid.
Dun, dun, dun. And, like you were talking about, our senator from the Kaiser area. Mm-hmm. How can I forget her name?
Oh, Kim Thatcher.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, and her bill, want her bill to go through.
So stop the short session.
Stop it.
Yeah.
That should be bipartisan, for goodness sake. I mean, I don't know anybody that's really happy with the way this thing has gone. I think it's been in since 2014, could be wrong, but, you know, and again, put in to do administrative things, to clean things up, to fix things, and now we're going to have, you know, son of HB 2020 coming in, that they want to, in a 35-day session, something that is going to dramatically and irreparably damage, change, whatever, the economy of this state? No.
Yeah, that's going to bring out more of the grassroots.
Yes.
Than ever before if they try and do that.
Well, speaking of the grassroots, this place, I've been walking around it for a couple of days and everything. These are grassroots people, and they don't – everybody here, every farmer here risks everything they own every year.
Yes.
It is a risky business, and they have to hold everything so tight.
Yeah.
And when we start talking in terms of 5% or 5.3% increase, they're just, yeah, you know, because they hold everything so properly and so close to the vest to make sure that it keeps prices down so that food that we eat, we can continue to eat. And like was talked a while ago, your first guest, we'll have 9 billion people to feed in 30 years.
Yeah.
And we are the breadbasket for the world.
Yeah, totally.
And so we need to, you know, respect this industry and treat it really well.
We do. Yeah. And I don't feel like it gets the respect that it deserves. And farmers, I don't think they get the respect. And we were talking about just the science of farming and, you know, the old perception of, as kids, farmer in the Dell. And, you know, we grew up thinking a farmer is. I mean, many farmers are scientists. They're scientists.
You bet. You know, they're... Oregon State has done an amazing job in the education of and the science, like you were talking about with Mary and Berry's.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that. I've seen such – we bought the radio station 29 years ago, and we've seen such a connection between the farm bureaus. We work with three. We work with Polk, Marion, and Yamhill.
Mm-hmm.
And but we see the transparency and the close connection that farming has with the university.
Yeah.
They need that tight, you know, so they can have tests, they can have experiments, and they can all the sciences that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's critical. It ends up in your strawberry jam at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're walking around talking to different vendors. Are you getting a sense? I mean, how are they feeling in general about the markets? I mean, business prospects for Oregon, being a farmer in Oregon?
They're talking about they love to be in this business and that this year will be a pretty good year.
Okay.
And last year was a really good year. And so you've got to have some pretty good ones and some real good ones once in a while.
Hopefully longer stretches than the bad ones.
Chris and I, we've started this project, which is culminated with this, a year ago. And it was to become more involved and more informational about the ag industry. We can't be all things to all people.
Sure.
But acknowledge and promote. And so one of the things we were seeing a year ago was everybody was planting filberts.
Yeah.
Excuse me, hazelnuts. Difference between hazelnuts and filberts is about 10 or 15 cents a pound. It's the same thing.
I did not know that.
No, wow. It's a joke.
Okay,
a hazelnut is a filbert.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But I was thinking if it was labeled differently, what is this?
One of the reasons is European chocolatiers.
Oh.
They all put hazelnuts in lots of things.
Yes, they do.
And they, so there's not enough supply.
I'm thinking of one particular chocolate spread that is everywhere in Europe on everything.
You bet.
Well, name names.
Yeah. New what?
Well, name names. We're not going to do a...
No, new what?
New what?
Yeah. You know, coming up in just a few minutes, a couple of minutes after me is we got the Oregon FFA Foundation.
Future Farmers of America.
Yeah. And Mr. Dooley is going to be our guest. And so that's where we are. That's what's next.
Well, thank you, Sergeant Mike.
You bet.
Glad you stepped in to chat.
Thank you very much. I like to do that.
It's awesome. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on Newsmakers. We will have Bill O'Reilly coming up at 2:04 this afternoon. We'll be right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires, live from the Northwest Ag Show on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thanks, Mr. Rich Kansky, Green Acres Landscape. I'm Dave Bourne, and we are at the Northwest Ag Show with Wednesdays with Denise and Dave.
And I would be that Newsmakers. Denise on Newsmakers.
That's her over there.
That's me over here.
And we're in the Columbia Hall if you want to come by and say hi, by the way.
I would love people to come on down and say hello.
Yeah. Two hours of Newsmakers today and 2 hours of Newsmakers tomorrow. Don't forget, Bill O'Reilly will be coming up at 2:04. Kind of excited right now because I'm hanging with a CEO again. Sean Dooley
is the CEO
of Oregon FFA.
FFA, and we love FFA.
Yes, we do. You raise some good kids.
Well, we appreciate the chance to visit with you, and we certainly are proud of our kids. These are young people, middle school and high school, who are enrolled in an agricultural education program, part of a career and technical education continuum at their local school. And the FFA is not a club. The FFA is intercurricular by federal charter. It is part and parcel to their education to prepare for a career in agriculture. That's fairly broad.
Yeah.
But these are kids who are taking a class. They are getting work-based experience out in the job world, whether that be entrepreneurial or doing a job shadow type of situation. I want to be a vet, and I'm going to follow the vet around on Saturday. And then finally, the FFA portion of it, where they are learning to be problem solvers, collaborators, developing those set of leadership skills that we all want as employees. You know, I tell our financial sponsors, our donors throughout the ag industry all the time, that What we're hoping for is to turn out kids who ask good questions, mm-hmm. show up on time every day, leave their baggage at home, do their work, and keep their cell phone in their pocket. I say, if I can do that, see, that's the response I get from most parents is a laugh or an applaud. I'm good with both. But if we can do that, the industry partners who are in this building, they can teach students the technical piece of working in their company or working in their segment of the industry. What we're trying to do with FFA members and ag education is make them career ready for whatever comes next, whether that means entering the job market right out of high school, mm-hmm. or entering into some sort of trade program, or moving on into an academic setting, whether that be a junior college or going to a four-year degree. So that's what we're trying to do with the FFA, and we have a number of FFA members walking around the hall today.
In the blue jackets.
Wearing the blue jackets. Yep. That's
those
our
pretty snazzy.
Well, the one thing about blue jackets, having worn one back in the day, mm-hmm. I will tell you that the only downfall to that blue corduroy is when you put it in the back of your closet for 40 years, the darn stuff shrinks.
What?
Isn't that...
How did that happen?
It's just bizarre.
So many people my age will tell you that their FFA jacket has shrunk in the back of the closet.
That sounds like a design flaw.
That's one of the things that's the only bad memory I have of the FFA.
Right. It's got to be the denim.
Yeah. No, it's corduroy.
It's corduroy.
Or corduroy.
But same thing. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. I've got some jeans that might be in that same category.
Sure.
It's a different story.
I know I do.
I know we all do. So this is broad. I think maybe, you know, you talk about veterinarian. I mean, there's, again, we've been talking too about the science of farming. And so this is broad. It's not, typically you think, you know, 4-H FFA, showing animals.
You see the kids walking around the circle at the county fair and say, well, that looks like a fun thing and a way to keep them off the streets and
but
out of trouble.
That's a process, and there's a method to that as well. So talk about that. What does that teach children?
Well, if you are involved in livestock production, even if it's simply a market animal that you show at the county fair to sale, mm-hmm. to sell, you've been involved in, first and foremost, the responsibility of those animals have to eat every day.
Right.
The barn has to be cleaned out on a regular basis. And just like people, animals need to see the doctor and those type of things. But they're involved with the science of... physiology and animal science. How do I pick an animal that will be productive and useful hanging on the rail to mm-hmm. going to the meat counter? Mm-hmm. I have to know enough about nutrition to say, what am I going to feed them? I have to look ahead and say, okay, I bought the animal here. My terminal market at the county fair is day X. They have to gain this much weight over that season of time. How do I manage the nutrition so that I either encourage them or retard them a little bit so they hit a particular date. I have to know about the care and management of that animal so I keep it healthy. I need to have the discipline to go out and work with that animal every day so that I train it, I teach it how to be ready to be in the show ring, not only all the distraction and noise that's going on, but how to brace that animal so it presents itself in the most positive light. This is no different than a lot of other aspects of life where we want to present something in its best light, whether it's us or our product. When it comes to a livestock animal, the more you've trained it, the more you've worked with it, mm-hmm. the more it's prepared, and you can set the animal in the show ring so that it shows off the best features. You hide some of those things that may not be quite so good. And then you've done the financial records. You keep track. The objective is to turn out with some people with some financial literacy that know about profit and loss because that's a good life skill for all of us to have. So there's some entrepreneurial aspects involved. There are financial record keeping that our FFA members do and learn. And whether they end up being the accountant for a business that's here in the exhibition hall or whether they're balancing their checkbook, learning that you have to spend less than you bring in and you have to keep track of those expenses, good life skills. That's involved in raising a market animal.
Any way we can get you to sit down with the legislature maybe? teach them.
Take your legislator to FFA Day.
Yeah, well, there you go. Teach them the balancing of the book so that you know they don't overspend what they're not taking in.
Well, I we can all beat up on the legislators, and I know that we have some people who work very, very hard, and
yes,
we can all complain and moan and complain about the balanced budget and whatnot. But the Oregon legislature has expressed its commitment to the future of agriculture and the future of the FFA with House Bill 2444 last June, which did provide funding for the first time since 2011 through the state budget that supports the FFA and delivering opportunities for FFA members that are beneficial to the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
Because the thing that we know about students who are taking any sort of career and technical education class, you know, we speak of agriculture and the FFA, the same holds true for people who are in culinary arts,
yeah,
people that are involved
automotive,
in business skills, automotive,
yeah,
all of those
mm-hmm.
types of things. If I am involved in a career technical education program, if I'm involved in a vocational student group like the FFA, I am much more likely to graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm.
I am much more job ready.
Sure.
And a recent report out of Purdue University would tell you that I score higher on standardized tests. I am much better ready to be an engaged and productive citizen than my classmates as a whole.
I would think as an employer would be looking at that, seeing that on someone's resume, especially at such a young age, going through all that would be a big selling point. And then again, not everybody is on that college track. This is a very viable, and some of these will. I mean, you want to be a veterinarian, I'd like you to go to higher education for that.
We kind of have a track.
Kind of have a track for that.
But at the same time, we are preparing students that come out of high school who can get welder certification and be working at $35-$40 an hour
with zero debt
immediately.
Zero debt.
And entering into some sort of trade program, an apprentice program. I will tell you right now that I have three financial sponsors of the FFA that all say, give me five diesel mechanics today and I will hire them all. I think they're chasing the same people because they all need the same number of diesel mechanics, but a lot of them are willing to invest in those students.
Yeah.
I will pay you to go to a diesel school. Just come back and work for me.
Isn't that interesting? And I wonder, you know, I know it's good that the legislature put the money in there. This is a really viable path for a lot of kids. Are you finding the numbers of FFA students growing? Or are they?
Our state FFA convention is coming up March 19 through 22.
Okay.
At this year's convention, we will issue, I think, four new charters. We'll have 114 FFA chapters across the state. Last year, we had 108. So
fantastic.
We are getting more chapters.
Fantastic.
We're getting more students. And the thing is that you are seeing where industry goes and where opportunities lie, because our state veterinary science event, probably one of the most difficult things academically for our students to be involved with, we have had a dramatic increase in the number of students who want to participate in that career development event. They've learned things in the classroom. They come to and have a competition. They demonstrate what they've learned how to do. And really what those competitions are all about, it's really skills assessment. Because
nice.
As an outside individual from the industry,
mm-hmm.
if I was a veterinarian, I come to our state vet science event, I want to look at those top kids. I look at the practicums, the things that they've demonstrated they know how to do. If they are in that top tier, they are employable today as a veterinarian technician or an entry-level position
yeah.
at my local veterinary office. So that that event is so popular that next year we will make it a two-day event.
Wow.
Because we had kids at Oregon State for 12 hours this year in order to get all of the members through the various practicums.
That's
because we had so many students that are interested in that. And we see that in those career areas where there are employment opportunities and some academic rigor and that are fun and timely to the trends in industry. When I talk to people about the FFA and they say, well, that's the old Future Farmers of America. Well, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very proud of that.
Yeah.
But today, in agriculture is broad and more vast than it's ever been before. I tell people that we're really preparing FFA members for a career in potato chips. And the reason being,
I get that. Yeah.
Somebody has to raise the potato.
Yep.
Somebody has to be the environmental engineer that makes sure that when they're in the spud shed, they don't rot, mm-hmm. they don't sprout. Mm-hmm. Somebody else has to be the plant geneticist that makes the newest, best, nice kind that's going to make the next French fry. We need engineers that do the slicer dicer machines. We need people in marketing that design the packaging, product development that will come up with what else can we do with potato beside making it a French mm-hmm. fry or a potato chip. And then we need... attorneys, we need accountants. One of our foundation board members, the chairman, is with Stoll Reeves, a law firm out of Portland, and he grew up in Vail on an onion farm.
Mm-hmm.
But he will tell you, Sean, I can hire attorneys all day long to come join our natural resources practice at Stoll Reeves. What I can't do is find kids who've ever worn a boot and want to be an attorney. The people who come through an FFA program and have that kind of exposure to the industry appreciate the challenges of being involved in production agriculture, or at least associated with it, make better employees for those allied people that are in this building that need accountants, that need marketing people, that need lawyers who understand what the heck they're talking about.
Yeah, that's always helpful.
It is. And I, you know, when I, you mentioned off air, I've interviewed a lot of FFA kids, and I'm across the board, without a doubt, always 100% impressed. The poise, they know what they're talking about. They are very passionate about what they do. They're some of my most favorite interviews to do, especially after they've come off out of the ring and they've won something and they want to talk about that. But these are amazing kids. They make me so proud, and it's very hopeful to meet them. Because we hear a lot of negative about young people.
Young people, yeah.
And these kids are not that. They are decidedly not that. They are doing amazing things. And I think what I was wondering, too, it's not just a rural thing.
One of our very successful FFA chapters is the North Clackamas chapter that is adjacent to Clackamas High School.
Yeah.
Draws students from Clackamas, Milwaukee, and Rex Putman. I think it's, the number says within 5 miles of their chapter farm, their school farm, rather, 300,000 people. And so ag programs that are community-based and focused on the career opportunities and the needs assessment within that community can thrive anywhere.
Yeah.
New York City, metropolitan New York City, we have FFA chapters, we have ag programs that focus on veterinary medicine. Yes, they may deal with the Chihuahua, not a
horse. I'm sure they did, yeah.
Horticulture, hydroponics, vertical farming. I have a friend that we are the same age. We grew up running a tractor together. And he says, Sean, if you're not talking to people about growing food inside a warehouse hydroponically with grow lights, then you're missing a bet because that is the future. When we're going to have 9 billion people?
Yeah.
You're going to have to go up.
We have to go up, and we have to use the science and the technology. Have a love for cattle out on the range, have a love for being behind a tractor and tilling the soil, but there are so many other aspects to agriculture and feeding the world. And the good thing is we have programs in rural settings, in metropolitan settings, in suburban settings, where ag teachers are doing a fabulous job of working with their local advisory committee, working with school administrators to craft a program that meets the career needs of those students, the preparation for them to become productive citizens who are aware of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
We say we try to not teach, we don't want to tell them what to think. We want to teach them how to think.
There you go.
Perfect.
That's perfect.
It has been a delight talking to you. You're obviously a passionate believer in this, and that comes through. They're lucky to have you.
Well, we certainly thank you for the time, and I'm going to encourage everybody to come down to the state fairgrounds. It's a great opportunity, whether you've got a farm or whether you just have a garden in the backyard.
Awesome. Come down and meet Sean Dooley, CEO for Oregon FFA. Sean, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN, Salem. Is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues live from the Northwest Ag Show. Here's Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you in part by Sylvan Learning Center. And you're on Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. We're at the Northwest Ag Show. It's going on today, tomorrow, and Friday. Shortened hours, of course, on Friday. Going long tomorrow. I believe you said 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock is what I heard, yeah.
And they opened it this morning at 9, and they're going to about 5:15.
5, I think he said, 5:15, yeah. 5:15?
Depends on how much they, you know, they get. But they'll be here. It's free parking. We're free parking right across the street at 17th Avenue. Mm-hmm. Come in the red gate entrance of the Oregon State Fairgrounds,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wanted to make sure I said that
That's
right.
That's where you are.
Yeah. And we're in the Columbia Hall, and they also have the Jackman Long Building. And
so two big areas, exhibiting areas.
Huge.
I mean, there's so much stuff here.
Yeah. I don't know how they got that picker in here.
I heard very carefully.
Because it's up in the rafters here.
It's huge.
Right
it's,
above
it's
us.
Huge.
It's kind of cool. Come check it out. Brent and I will be back here tomorrow from noon to 2 again.
Yep.
And then Bill O'Reilly will be coming up here at 2:04 both today and tomorrow. And in the last 3 minutes that we have here, Denise, your thoughts on it.
I love the people that are here, salt of the earth people that matter. With the work that they do is so important. I don't feel like they get the due that they are due, frankly. They're just in the passion in talking to Sean from FFA and talking to Angelita from Timber Unity, just the sort of the cross-section of groups that are here, the vendors that are here, the farmers that are here, the ag guys, the truckers. I mean, it runs the gamut. And there's so much passion in the work that they do because it's a way of life.
Yeah, definitely. And the tools that they now have available at their disposal, I'm just blown away about how they have some of these things that they have videos going on, and you could see what this tool does.
Yeah. It's pretty precise, and again, the technology behind it, the computer technology, when we were talking to Sean, too, about,
You
know, you're looking at, it's very automated. A lot of it is very automated. Hydroponics, you're going up. As you run out of sort of farmable land, you've got to go up.
But anything with electronics, they need people to repair them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what bringing in, you know, the next generation of future farmers of America, and again, I can't stress enough how much they are, these kids are amazing. If you get a chance to go to see, especially the Oregon State Fair, they do that. The county fairs all have these kids there. Go talk to them.
We talked to them last time at the Polk County Fair and the Marion County Fair.
Yep. I've interviewed them many, many times, and they are a delight.
I love talking to those kids. I ran into some of them over on the other side over there by the restrooms when we had a bathroom break.
In those magically shrinking blue jackets.
Yes. And they were from Staten. Huh? And the blue denim. They're so
corduroy.
Sharp.
It's corduroy.
Is it? Corduroy?
Yeah.
All right. Corduroy.
Corduroy.
Those are pretty spiffy
They're
jackets.
Very spiffy.
Yeah. Great. Come check it out. There's food. There's vendors. There's equipment. There's services. You got Oregon Rain here. You got the Mark Nelson Oil Products. You got all that and more, and seminars to attend, too.
That's true. There's a lot of seminars. We talked to Angelita. She was from Timber Unity giving one. There's financial seminars. There's I think there's a little bit of something for everybody here.
Yeah, right. At the Northwest Agricultural Show today till about 5, tomorrow 9 to 6 or 7, and then on Friday, shortened one from 9 to about 2 o'clock. Thanks for listening to Wednesdays with Denise. I'm Dave Bourne at 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening. Oh, he just gave me the 5-second mark. All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Take care,
Bill
everybody.
Bill O'Reilly's coming up at 2:04.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers. Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires. Live, local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.